Last time we looked at the book of Malachi, I asked the question, how have you responded to God's love? You know, what have you done with the love that God has shown you in the cross of Christ and also in the fact that God reached out to you and chose you to become his child, if indeed you are his child? This week I'd like to ask a different question, and it's this. What have you offered God? What have you offered God? I know many people that say, look, here's how God fits into my life. I'm going to give him 45 minutes on a Sunday morning or an hour on Sunday morning. That's it. God is in that box. I don't take anything out of that box. I don't remove anything from the box. What's in that box stays in the box. But the rest of my life and that box are two different things. So if I do go to church, and when I go to church, well, that's God's time. But the rest of the time, it's mine. Some people have no relationship with God at all, so they feel they have nothing to offer God and want to offer God nothing. They look at their lives. God hasn't been in their lives. No one really has talked about God in their lives. So, you know, God's kind of separate from them, and there's really no mixture of the two. But I want to ask you this morning, if you are a child of God, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, what are you offering God? What are you giving him? Pharisee came to Jesus, and he asked Jesus a question. He said to Jesus, what's the most important Old Testament command? Of all the commands, which one is the most important, the one that, you know, I got to follow above everyone else? Back in those days, they loved to argue over which was the most important. Jesus responded, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. This is the greatest. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, it says, this is love for God, to obey his commands. Greatest commandment is to love God, and if you love God, here's what it is. Obey his commands. Obey his commands. In the passage we're going to look at this morning, he had just asked the question, where is or how do you know, how do you respond to God's love? Now in this question, he kind of turns it around, and he's now asking, where is your love for God? Where is your love for God? And beginning in verse 6 of chapter 1, he's really stopped talking to people of Israel for a moment, and he turns around and he talks to the spiritual leaders in Israel, the priests. Notice with me, beginning in verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me, says the Lord Almighty? It is you, O priests, who show contempt for my name. Let me say it this way. You need to know that God is examining your life. God is looking at your life. And he keeps a good calculation of what is going on in your life. He's watching every moment, every minute, every second of your life, and he's knowing what's going on in your life, and he is evaluating your life. So if I were to take point number one, God's charge against the priest, we could say it another way and say this. Know that God is examining your life. Know that. He looks at the priests and he kind of throws out some common truths, some general truths, though they're not always true. They are generally true. Son honors his father. That's the fifth of the Ten Commandments. And a servant honors his master. If that is true, and if God is both a father and a master, he turns to the spiritual leaders and says, look, where's that for me? How are you honoring me? How are you respecting me? The word that is used for honor here is a word that means to declare worthy. It is the opposite of despising something. The word respect may be translated with the idea of reverence. Even the word love. So where are you showing that I am worthy of your actions, and where in your life are you showing that you love me? We're good at that, aren't we? We look at people's lives and we take out our list and we begin to number them. I know this person loves me because here's 1, 2, 3, 4. Or we look at their life and we make our list and we say, I know this person doesn't love me, and 1, 2, 3, 4. God says, where's my honor and where's my respect? Now again, remember, he's talking here to the spiritual leaders of Israel, the priests. And he turns this question around and he makes a simple statement. He says, look, there's no honor, there's no respect. It is you, O priests, who show contempt for my name. Not only are you not honoring me, not only are you not respecting me, but you're actually showing contempt for my name. The word contempt means to make little of. To look at something as being worthless, look at something as not being worth your time. So the spiritual leaders of Israel are looking at God and saying, God, you're not worth our time. You're not worth our mind. You're not worth our thinking. You're not worth anything in our life. We saw at the beginning of the chapter that the people's lives were all messed up. They didn't understand God's love. And it's no wonder that they didn't, because the spiritual leaders didn't either. Spiritual leaders didn't love God. Spiritual leaders didn't have time for God. That is often true today. So let me ask you this morning. I've already said, and we know that God is examining our lives. If God is examining your life, and he is he going to say of you, where is my respect and where is my honor? Is he going to look at your life, and is your life, the demonstration of your life, is it going to show that you honor God and respect God, or is it going to show that you despise God? What do your actions show? What does the things in your life that you do, what does it show? You love God? Don't have time for God. God is the most important thing in your life? Well, it's not that I hate God, but you know what? I'm just so busy. I got so many other things to do. What does your life show? God is examining your life. What do your actions and your attitude show? So God throws out this charge at the priest and says, basically, you're not honoring me, you're not respecting me, but you are showing contempt for me. Well, maybe you'll respond the same way the priests do. Go down to verse 6 again. In the middle of verse 6, the priests respond, but you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? How have we done that, God? How have we shown contempt for your name? Notice again that they're unwilling to admit their sin. We saw that 2 weeks ago. You know, someone comes in and says, what are you doing? What? What do you mean? Me? You know, have they gotten so far off track that they don't even know what right is? Have they gotten so far away from looking in the mirror and seeing where they ought to be and understanding where they should be that they don't even know at this point? And they kind of respond to God with ignorance. We don't know what you mean. What are we doing that's wrong? Don't avoid or deny the truth. I mean, if your actions show that you're honoring God, that's what they show. If your actions show that you can care less about God, that's what they show. But know this, in all of our lives, we will all one day stand before God, and God's going to look at our life, and he's either going to say, you've lived a life that has honored me, or you've lived a life that has shown contempt for me. Now, you don't have to answer for the person who's sitting on your left. You don't have to answer for the person who's sitting on your right. But one day you will stand before God, and God is going to look at your life, and he's going to say, all right, let's go through the details of your life, and how have you lived? The priest tried to deny the truth. They try to get away from the truth. But God demonstrates this charge against them. And we see that beginning in verse 7. Notice verse 7. You place defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. You bring blind animals for sacrifice. Is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. I want you to notice in verse 7 through verse 11, their actions. By their actions, they despise God's name. We may ask the question this way. Are you giving God your best? If you look at your life, is God getting the best of who you are? Best of your time? The best of your actions? At this point in the life of Israel, they're bringing animals to God to be sacrificed. And in sacrificing these animals, by what they are sacrificing, they are saying that God is contemptible, that they don't have any time for God, they could care less about God's laws. Notice, the animals they're bringing to be offered are blind, crippled, and diseased. They're bringing sacrifices to God that are blind, crippled, and diseased. Now you might say, well, what's the problem with that? They're still bringing an animal. Hold your finger here in Malachi and turn with me to Leviticus chapter 22. Leviticus chapter 22. Beginning in verse 17, God is laying forth the sacrifice that he wanted the Israelites to bring to him. And he begins in verse 17. Lord said to Moses, speak to Aaron and his sons and to all the Israelites and say to them, if any of you, either an Israelite or an alien living in Israel, present a gift for a burnt offering to the Lord, either to fulfill a vow or as a freewill offering, you must present an animal without defect, from the cattle, the sheep, or the goats, in order that it may be acceptable on your behalf. Do not bring anything with a defect, because it will not be accepted on your behalf. When anyone brings from their herd or flock a fellowship offering to the Lord to fulfill a special vow or a freewill offering, it must be without defect, blemish, to be acceptable. Do not offer to the Lord the blind, the injured, the maimed, or anything with warts or festers or running sores. Do not place any of these on the altar as an offering made to the Lord by fire. So let me say it this way. God says when the Israelites were to make an offering before God, it had to be the best that they had, without any defect, or God would not accept their offering. When we come to Malachi, they're no longer offering that. They're offering the blind, the crippled, and the diseased. Now, why was it so important that they offered an animal without defect? Because all of these animals would ultimately represent the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And when God sent Christ, remember one of the greatest verses in all the Bible is that God so loved his Son. But he gave them for us. God gave us his best as a sacrifice on the cross. A person without sin. A person who loved God totally. A person who never did anything wrong. Because it was only in that someone could pay for all the wrong that we have done. So these animals that the Israelites would bring to the offering had to be animals that one day would represent Jesus. One day would show what the cross was all about. All these animals offered in the Old Testament, they would not take away sin. All they did was cover sin for a while. Could never take away sin. But when Jesus came and he offered his sacrifice, it was the ultimate sacrifice, the final sacrifice. And in his sacrifice, he completely did away sin when we come to him in faith and trust the sacrifice that he made for our sin. But the Israelites at this point in their history, they're saying to themselves, you know what, why bother bringing the best? Let's bring the crippled animals. They're not worth anything. Let's bring the diseased animals. They're not worth anything. You know what? They're going to be lost. Let's not give God our best. Let's give God our worst. Let's give God the leftover junk. You know, keep the best for me, but give God the leftover junk. Like the story I heard of the little boy walking to church, and his mom gave him, I think it was 2 quarters. And she said one was his and one was God's. Or no, it was a quarter and a dime. One was his and one was God's. As he was walking down the street, the quarter went down the drain. He said, oh, well, God, I guess I lost your money. What do you give God? I mean, when you wake up in the morning, do you wake up in the morning saying, this is the day God has made. God, this is your day. My life is for you. Every moment, every breath I have, God, I'm going to give you my best today. Or do you wake up in the morning without any thought of God and say, well, you know what, if I have time at the end of the day and I'm not too busy and I'm just not too tired after watching my movie at night, well, maybe I might give God 5 minutes in his word. Notice what God said to them. He said, you bring me these kind of animals. Notice in verse 8. When you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to the governor. Would he be pleased with you? The governor in that day was the governor of Persia. And the idea is, would you go to a governor's banquet and give God or give the governor a diseased animal and say, here, here's some food for the banquet today? Would you take the worst of all you had to bring to the leaders and say, yeah, you can have this for your feast today? God says, would he be pleased with you? Would he be happy with your offering? You know, if you're married, think of your spouse. If you have a boyfriend, girlfriend, think of that boyfriend or girlfriend. And look at what you're giving God compared to that other person and say, and ask this question, am I, what I'm giving to God, would my boyfriend or my girlfriend or my spouse, would they be happy if I gave them the same thing? If I gave them the same thing, would they know that I love them? He says, try offering them to your governor. See if he'll be pleased. Verse 9, now implore God to be gracious to us. With such offerings from your hands, will he accept you, says the Lord Almighty. Oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I'm not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty. And I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations from the rising to the setting of the sun. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to my name. Because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. You know, God's saying to the Israelites, your worship has become useless. It's become useless. Why don't you just take the temple doors and shut them? Paul said the same thing to the Corinthians. Paul had looked at the Corinthians and how they were doing the Lord's Supper and where their attitudes were and where their heart was. Paul says, you know what? Your services do more harm than they do good. their worship was useless. Why don't you just shut the door? Why don't you just forget it? They're offering sacrifices on the altar, and God's saying, hey, they're of no value. They're crippled, they're lame, they're diseased. What are you giving me? You're giving me your worst? What part of your day does God get? What part of your money does God get? You know, when the offering goes around, are you a tipper? You feel in your pocket and see if you have some change? The Bible tells us we are to give the first fruits to God. The first of our income ought to go to God. First of what we make, not the last of what we make. The very first of what we make goes to God. How about your abilities? Every person has some kind of ability that God has given you, the talent that God has given you. Are you using that for God? God wants his name to be honored. And God says, look, whether you honor me or not, the Israelites of Malachi's day, he says, it doesn't, you know, one day they will. One day they will bring sacrifices and offerings to God, and God will be pleased with them. He's talking about the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And everyone will come to worship Christ, and everyone will bring the best of their sacrifice to Christ, and everyone will honor Christ. He's saying, look, you're not doing it, but I want you to know one day they will. So are you giving your best to God, or are you like the Israelites of Malachi saying, giving the leftovers to God? And then there's a group of people. You know, sometimes we might go through the motions. People might look at our actions. We might say of ourselves, look, certainly God's getting my best. You know, I go to church. I do read my Bible. I do some things. But let me ask you, how about your attitudes? See, sometimes we can go through the motions and do some things, but our attitude's right. God not only looks at our actions, but he also looks at our attitude. And we see in the verses we just read that God's looking at their actions. But he does much more. He looks at their attitude. Notice verse 12. But you profane it by saying the Lord's temple is defiled, and of its food it is contemptible. And you say, what a burden. And you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Almighty. When you bring injured, crippled, and diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands, says the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifice a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. They profane the Lord's table. The word profane means to violate it. It's a word that means to wound or stab or to penetrate something, and so you violate it. Violate sacred things. Their attitude towards the offering that they were giving to God, their attitude was that it was a burden. A burden is something in our life that we consider a pain. A burden is something in our life that to do it just, you know, tires us all out, and we really don't want to do it, but we kind of do because we have to do it, but it's not something we like to do. The spiritual leaders of Malachi's day were looking at bringing an offering to God and saying, you know what, this is just really a pain, and I'd rather not do it. That was their attitude. The attitude is, well, maybe I have to do it, maybe I'm forced to do it, but I really don't want to do it. Their attitude was, I'd rather be somewhere else, I'd rather be anywhere but here. They thought that serving God was a burden. They went through the motions, but their heart was not in it. They did give to God, but because their heart was not in it, they gave God the leftover junk. Blind, crippled, lame animals. Their attitude towards serving God was rotten. They had no desire to do it. In fact, notice down in verse 14, God says to them, cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male from his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. So at first I say, you know what, God, we're going to give our best. But when it gets really down to it, we give our worst. They substitute the best of their sacrifice for a blemished sacrifice. The word blemish that's used here is a word that is used of an animal that has been torn apart by a predator. And so it was maimed. They look at the maimed animal that had just been torn apart and they say, well, why don't we give this to God? But not our best. So they don't fulfill their vow. God calls them a cheat. What are you giving God? God's making his list. He's looking at your life. He's looking at your actions, not just what you say. He's looking at your actions, and he's also looking at your attitude. Is God getting your best? Or do you look at God and say, it's not worth it? In their actions and their attitudes, both, in both, they were dishonoring God. In both, they were disrespecting God. They did this by offering God the leftover junk that they had. The attitude was, hey, you know what? This is just a bother to do this, and I really don't want to do it. What have you been offering God? What have you been giving God? Are you giving him the best or the junk? Are you giving him the leftovers or the best of all that you have? Do you say, you know what? It's a pain to come to church. It's a pain to spend time in God's word, and I'm only going to pray if I'm in trouble and I really need something. I'm scared to death. And to serve God, forget it. Rosemary, would you stand up for a second? I'm going to embarrass you. The other day, Rosemary came in my office. And she said, you know, I don't feel really good about this. I'm out. If you've been looking around our church building, you've been noticing that flowers are going up all over the place. She's the one who's doing it. And she came into my office the other day, and she said, I love doing this stuff. I'm so excited about doing this stuff, it almost doesn't really feel like serving God. And I said to her, that's exactly what God wants. I have been looking for a long time for someone who would help our church look better as far as, you know, putting flowers and doing the grounds and everything around it. She's that person we've been praying for. Thanks. What are you giving God? There's a great verse and a great hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Here's what it says. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. The best or the leftover junk? What's God getting from you? Let's pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to examine your life right now. God is examining your life, but I want you to examine your life. Two simple questions. Is God getting the best of your actions? And is God getting the best of your attitude? Or are you giving them the leftover junk? Take this moment to examine your own life. And if God's not getting your best, I think you and God need to have a talk this afternoon. Father God, I pray as you examine our lives that you would not see the same thing you saw in the Israelites in Malachi's day. I pray, Lord, you would not find us giving you the leftover junk of our life, but you would find that we're giving you the best and that we're honoring your name. So, Father, as we leave this morning, I pray that our worship this morning has honored you. And I pray, Lord, that the rest of our day, you'll get the best of it. For we pray in Jesus' name.